And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend. Not being afraid, even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. I always enjoy Fridays. The anticipation of the unexpected during the show, for example, during the show, we forgot to give you the trivia answer to the previous question. And so I just want to make sure we do that because I felt bad about that. What was the place that the Lord Jesus is sitting? Where is he sitting in heaven? At the right hand of God, at the left hand of God, or in front of God? And the answer, of course, is at the right hand, right? Okay. Sorry. Blew that. But now we're in Friday and we're doing this, right? And this show, there's a freedom in this show on Fridays. So we're going to do some DDDs, and do our best to explore the meaning, first off, of what it means to be a leader and how to lead with the right spirit. What does that mean? We'll approach this a little different from the overall New Testament concept of servant leadership. We're not going to ignore it. We're just going to approach it from the Old Testament point of view. We're going to examine a couple of aspects of leadership defined in the Old Testament. Remember, when you think you are not, whether you think you are not a leader, just in case you don't know this, you are. Even if, listen to what I'm going to say, even if you don't know you're always leading, you're always being watched and leading somebody. Never forget that. Our next teaching is going to involve the wisdom of being careful regarding with whom we form alliances with. And that's because an alliance is much deeper than just mere connections. It involves dependence on one another. Confidence in an unfaithful person is likened to a broken tooth or a foot out of joint, according to the Word of God. And finally, we conclude today's show with a review of what the wisest man on the planet did when he was at the peak of his wisdom. Everybody knows that Solomon started off great, but then faced tremendous difficulties later in his life, and in fact, he failed the Lord. It's not as though he won't be in heaven, but the earlier part of his journey is what we aim to emulate. In this teaching, we're going to review what Solomon did that did please the Lord and challenge each and every one of us to do the very same thing to please the Lord in everything that we think, say, and do.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk is what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations. Sometimes that's scary. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and so much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a string and two cans. But we still want to know what you think. David@HeMustIncrease.org. David, D-A-V-I-D, @HeMustIncrease.org. That's how you can get in touch with us. Plus, you can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like heading into the weekend.
Aww.
Oh, isn't that fantastic? Heading into the weekend, brother.
Yes, it is. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. So we are going to take joint responsibility on the We Forgot.
Yeah, but I was just about to say, I have the ping pong ball ready.
Okay.
It will be thrown.
It will be thrown.
If it's forgotten.
But on the prior question, we both just completely spaced.
It's okay, though. It'd been a while.
Yeah.
We had a streak going.
Yep. Yeah. Eric texted in pink ping pong ball. That's what he texted in. So, yeah, we blew that. We apologize. Again, that one trivia question, which is pretty straightforward. Where's Jesus located? Is he at the right hand of the Father, the left hand of the Father, or is he in front of God? And he's, of course, at the right hand. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. So, anyway, let's just make sure you know what the contacting us is for. Do you have a prayer request? Let's pray. Do you have a praise report? Let's share. Do you have something going on you're trying to figure it out? Ask. We'll do our best. We might not have the best answers. A lot of shows have a lot of better answers. Okay? We'll acknowledge that with no problem. We'll do our best. Maybe you got something the Lord's worked in your life and you just kind of want to talk it out. Maybe you're just trying to figure things out. Maybe you just want somebody to make sure that they know you're alive. Maybe you're just feeling lonely and just want to have that contact. That's cool too. This is what fellowship is about. Maybe we'll do some history. I'm definitely going to be doing some jokes, I can tell you that. Plus, another Bible trivia. Make sure that pink ping pong ball is ready. This one's a little more interesting and a little more challenging, according to Genesis 12:4. So it's Genesis 12:4. You should already know this is going to be about Abraham. According to Genesis 12:4, how old was Abraham when he left and followed where the Lord wanted him to go? Was he 75 years old? 85 years old, or 95 years old? How old was Abe when God said, it's time to go, let's go, let's go? Was he 75 years old, 85 years old, or 95 years old? How old was Abraham? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483.
That's 214-210-8483.
I don't know where that voice came from. And then additionally, you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. How old was Abe when the whole show started for him? Was he 75 years old, 85 years old, or 95 years old? How old was Abe? That's the question that we're asking you right now. In the meantime, oh, wait, somebody's calling. In the meantime, somebody's calling. You see, that's funny because that's what I thought was going to happen in the last segment, and then so that's kind of how we all got mixed up. Somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Okay, they're bailing us out. That's very nice of them. Send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Gary, except I can't believe I forgot to give the trivia answer in the earlier part of the show. I'm sitting there thinking, it's got to be Friday. There's no other way it could be anything else. So, anyway, how are you feeling today?
About the same.
Okay. All right, that's fine. I don't mind.
We'll keep praying.
Absolutely. And how are you doing on the other things? Because we're praying about those, too.
Well,
finances need
about
help?
About the same. Well, about the same there. Just keep praying. Sometimes you just got to keep praying.
Yep, I think that's exactly right. And especially if you study the scripture, you know Jesus taught very specifically about being persistent. So let's do the trivia question, then we'll keep on praying. Do exactly what Jesus said. So here's the trivia question. How old was Abraham when it all started, when he left Haran? Was he 75 years old, 85 years old, or 95 years old?
He was 75 years old.
That is correct, Amado! He was 75 years old, and God said, now. You're thinking, wow, that's amazing. Let me pray over you. I want to pray for you for the different areas, but I want to pray for you specifically for health, okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. Our pleasure, our privilege to pray with our brother and to petition you and ask you, and first and foremost, like we do, we thank you, we praise you, we acknowledge you, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. That's what you write to us. You told us that. And so we thank you for everything. And we bring Gary before you. And Lord, he's got different things that are going on. And we need blessings in those different areas. He needs some financial blessing. He needs some other things just to smooth out and work out. Maybe not so straining and not so stressful. But Lord, we need the touch that comes from you to fill his body so that he can be healed. You are the great physician. You are the one that created the body. You are the one that can restore the body. You are the one that resurrects the dead. And we're asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to be inside of Gary, on top of Gary, and inside of Gary in fullness, and that he would find healing from you, all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray that. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I'll continue to pray for all of you, and God bless you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you as well. All right. Love hearing from Gary. And everybody who hears that voice, you should be praying for Gary. It doesn't take long to pray for somebody. And then once you get used to praying for somebody, listen to this, then you can add more people in. Wait, then you add more people in. Before you know it, you're praying a lot longer than you ever thought possible. And I just remember telling Joshua, we were talking one time, and he was asking me, he goes, you know, you pray a long time every day, and I'm just learning how to pray longer. And so we talked about it, and I just told him, I said, I'm just using the most immediate family. So I said, so you're praying for, you know, your parents, and then you pray for your siblings, right? You know, I pray for everybody individually. Then I pray for the siblings, all of their families, and then all of their kids and all of their connections and all of their situations. Then I pray for my kids and all of their families and all of their kids and all of their connections. If you just do that and just enumerate them, just don't go, oh, God knows, I don't have to say it. Just bring up each and every one. Before you're done, you're like, I just did 15 minutes of prayer. I'm not even done praying for my family. But I'm just giving you an example. And then you pray for people in the church, and you pray the same way, and you take it to the next level and the next level, and you keep praying. And then what you do is when you see those people, you ask how things are going. Because, A, that help, they're not always going to be where you're praying for them. So it gets you the update so you know how to pray and how to keep praying or where to specifically pray. And then all that time you're engaged with God. Well, how good is that? It's this good. It's time for the DNA. That's how good it is. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. I just want to say every day you get out of bed, you should spend some time with God. Now, if you're stuck in bed and you wake up, you should still spend time with God. Okay? And if you can't pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon. If you can't pray in the afternoon, pray in the evening. If you can't pray in the evening, pray in the late evening. And if you're like, you know, I don't have enough time. I need 8 hours. Get 7.5 hours and believe God will make up the difference of the 30 minutes of your sleep, that he'll give you more energy because you're spending time with him. After all, Colossians 1:29 makes it clear that God gives his energy, energisio. It's like, okay, not exousia, energisio, energis or energisio, depending on which nestles you use. So anyway, the bottom line of that is the Lord will give you that energy. Spend that time. You will find more refreshment in your private time with God. Once you're really humming along, once you really get it, you'll find more refreshment there than anywhere else. How do you think you'd feel if, boop, you're in heaven. Boop, now you're back on earth. Boop, you're in heaven. Don't you think every time you go to heaven, you'd be like, I feel charged. Right? Yeah. Bringing a little bit of heaven on earth. That's the deal. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. N. For DNA. D. Draw closer to the Lord daily. N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. So this is getting worse and worse in society, but I don't know why that's so surprising. When they were Christians in the early church in the first century, if you believed in Jesus, they burned you. So, well, I want to be like the early church was. You sure? A lot of people say that. Well, then you should never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. That doesn't mean you have to be Billy Graham. You should never be ashamed. You don't need to deny. You don't need to be sorry for the word. You don't need to be sorry that the world doesn't like you. They don't have a heaven to put you in. What do you care? Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Luke 9:26. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
Always be ready to serve. So Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He set the example. He laid it out for his disciples, okay? Contrary to the Super Bowl commercial, which did an absolutely horrible job of trying to communicate that, Jesus was serving his disciples, the ones that were following Jesus, and he wants them to serve one another because he set the example, and Jesus said specifically, serve one another. I have served you. Follow my example. Do to one another. That's what we should be doing. And just be ready. Just be ready. Whatever you want. Lord, I'm ready, 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 ready to go. Here we go. Okay? All right. Let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and get into some teachings. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
I was driving down I-30 yesterday, and it was stop-and-go traffic. There's, I guess, an accident up ahead. So I was putting along at 20 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, and this little sports car would speed up and get right beside me, and then he'd fall back. You know, just kind of we're shuffling back and forth. He'd go, and I'd go, and he'd go, and I'd go. And I just was watching out of the corner of my eye and just kind of mindlessly driving at 20 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, I hear this little beep, 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 beep. And I said, uh-oh, what did I do? And I looked out of the corner of my eye, and he drove right up next to me. He had his windows rolled down, and he gave me a big old thumbs up. And I said, what's he giving me a thumbs up for? I was kind of expecting, when you have somebody honking at you, you're expecting something else, you know? And then I realized I have that bumper sticker on that's God created the universe. He can write a book. And then he just sped off. He slowly drove off at 20 miles an hour. But I just thought that was neat. That's the first time that anybody's really gives a thumbs up for a bumper sticker. Usually people that have bumper stickers, it's to hold their bumper on their car. But
I just
wanted to share that story.
That is an awesome story. First of all, it's really good that he gave you a thumbs up and didn't use any other fingers. So let's just say that's for sure. And then the other part about that is that that's cool because whether he's listening to the show or not, he agrees with you, knows that that's true. Hey, look, God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Let's just get that. Well, let's get that squared away, you know?
Yes. And you know what? He might be listening to the story, to the radio now.
That's exactly right. What a blessing. That's cool. And we do have those bumper stickers. You know, we only have so many, but we're going to do an ambassador program, and that'll give people an opportunity to put the bumper sticker on their car if they want to. And nobody wants you to do anything to your car you don't want to. But I really, really appreciate you sharing that story. And that is a great story. And see, every time we're in traffic, we think something bad's going to happen. Instead, hey, there was something good that happened. Somebody standing with you in the faith, perhaps a fellow listener saying, right on. Just right. That's the right target. I bet that blessed you at the moment, didn't it?
It sure did.
Yeah.
It sure did.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a great story. And I love that. Oh, good job. good job in being an ambassador just by sharing that bumper sticker and just by proclaiming the truth. Some people will read that and they might go, I don't know, but it sure challenges a lot of people, doesn't it? It's like, you got to think that through, don't you?
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I gave that a little extra delay before I don't know if you noticed that or not. A little extra delay there. I wanted to hear that next little portion of the music. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. This is going to be an interesting one. You should know that. It's still challenging. I think these are challenging. I'd have a hard time with it. How many times did Joseph, the husband of Mary, have a vision of angels in a dream? Okay? Is it 6 times, 7 times, or 3 times? Now, your answer is in Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2. But how many times did it happen? 6, 7, or 3 times that Joseph had a dream, had a vision of a dream, had a dream or a vision, because either way, mostly it's dreams, and in the dream he sees the vision. That's how that works. If you think you know the answer, reach out to us, 972-445-0770. Okay, I'll say that number again for those that are thinking, do I call? And it's okay to call. You don't have to be, you're welcome to call. If you've called before, if you've never called before, whatever, don't worry about it. If you've called a bunch of times, call. I love hearing from everybody. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. How many times did Joseph have a dream? Your answer is in Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2. Was it 6 times, 7 times, or 3 times? That is the question. Somebody is reaching out. We have people texting, people calling. That's what you like, right? And then we're going to get into the teaching. Oh, yeah. All right. Somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is a guy.
It's a guy? Hi, guy. How are you?
And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. What's going on, Samson?
Hi, I want to say thank you for praying with me yesterday.
Yeah, how'd that go?
I was able to apologize to my daughter, and she forgave me, and everything went well. So thank you for praying.
That's so great. I'm so blessed to hear that, and actually I prayed for you afterwards, too, because I know that's a hard... I've had to apologize to all levels of family, and there's everywhere you can possibly think of, and it can be hard, but it can also be very, very powerful when you're humble like that, or when you at least acknowledge that, and that makes a connection, and so that connection is powerful and won't be forgotten. So I'm very, very blessed that you called to share that. That's really cool.
Okay. And I also want to chime in. Earlier you were saying regarding encouraging people to pray. Actually, this morning I was listening to Pastor Renji, and he said when he got retired, so he wasn't praying as enough. So like one day Lord said, hey, I missed talking to you because you used to pray a lot for different things and different people, and now you're not. And Pastor was sharing, like, when he was a pastor, so he prayed for all the church issues and things and needs and family and friends. But once he got retired, so he felt like it wasn't necessary. But then Lord reminded him to keep praying because Lord loves to hear from us.
That's
And then blesses us with our needs.
That's right. That's excellent. That's excellent, Chair. Very, very good. Now you have to answer the trivia question, by the way. You have
sure.
to answer. Okay, ready? How many? Now wait till wait till I give all the answer. You got to wait. How many times did Joseph have a dream regarding angels giving him direction? Was it 6 times, 7 times, or 3 times?
3.
That is correct, Amanda, sir! So for those in the New Testament...
Thank you for reminding me. I'm very impatient.
I know people are like, three. I know. And just think about this, though. For people in the New Testament era, God speaks through dreams. Hello? Anyway. first 2 chapters. Can't miss that, right? Excellent call. Great job, brother.
Very good. Hey, I'm praying for you and your family today. That was a special day to just praying for you and your family.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
All right. Love you, brother, and Shabbat Shalom again.
All right. You too. Shabbat Shalom.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Let me get into this teaching. This is called A Leader Leading with the Right Spirit. Interesting, right? Now, we already know servant leadership is the way that Jesus modeled it. And John Maxwell did a phenomenal job. When I interviewed him when I was in San Diego, just lights out. That guy's brilliant. He's got it. He's the guy that said, you know you've been a good leader when the people are better off after you leave. It's just like, you can't, okay, got it. That's brilliant. I want to talk about this one other angle, and this goes in concert with servant leadership. And this is leadership from the point of view of 2 Samuel. So give me that moment. 2 Samuel 23, 3 through 4, the God of Israel spoke, the rock of Israel said to me, the one who rules the people with justice, who rules in the fear of God, is like the morning light when the sun rises on a cloudless morning, the glistening of rain on sprouting grass. Okay? So the rock of Israel is God, just in case you're trying to figure out, okay? Ruling in justice, the way that we rule in justice, the way that people lead in justice, and I know you got to think about politics. You don't really have a choice because that's a lot of leadership, plus family leadership, plus church leadership, right? Plus any organization leadership, all of it, right? The way that people are supposed to rule in justice, or to lead and to rule in justice, is by ruling in the fear of God. That means that whatever decisions they make, it is not based on how the people will respond. Every leader, Republican, Democratic, Independent, Green Party, whatever, who makes ruling judgments for leadership based on the fear of the people is in sin. What do you think of that? Because righteous leadership is leadership that's made in the fear of God. If you make a ruling decision in your own family because you want your kids to like you versus honoring God, you failed that. Well, you're not a complete failure, but you failed in that. We are supposed to rule, direct, guide, lead in the fear of God, not the fear of man. And there's nobody in human existence that once you've finished doing your leading, your ruling, your guiding, nobody, when you are done, is going to be able to reward you when you are dead. But you will stand before God and give an account. And if you stand before the Lord and go, well, I made that decision based on, you know, how they would respond to me. It's like, okay. And any leader, this is true. Let's not even be weird about it. Politicians and all, when they make these decisions and statements that are trying to boost polls and do all that stuff, every one of them a loser in the kingdom principle. Yeah, they might be a loser too. I don't know. But I'm just making sure you understand. You make decisions, you lead, you get by the fear of God. And then if you do that, listen to what God says. These are the things that it's seen as morning light. It's seen as though that's the light. And some people like darkness more than light, which is why they don't like it. Okay, got that. But doesn't matter because you're doing it right before the Lord. Right leadership is seen as the glistening of rain when we can all see the refreshing sight. Because good leadership brings almost a refreshment to the spirit. Wow. This is why everybody's, you do this stuff with the Lord. You do this partnership stuff with the Lord. Well, you know, how am I going to get elected if I do it with the Lord? The Lord lifts up one and puts down another. If God wants you in a spot, you'll be there. If God wants you mooing with the grass, even though you're the most powerful person on the planet, like Nebuchadnezzar, you'll be there too. Get it? Wow. Okay. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. when you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. CowpunchSites.com/dad.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated. Knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. And get ready, because this trivia question, my friends. Just remember how we do trivia. Normally, out of the five questions we normally do, the fourth is always the toughest. Just remember that. Don't blame me. Okay, here we go. It's been this city for, you know what? It's going to be 5 years, 3 weeks from Monday that we've been doing this. All right, here we go. How long was Joash hidden in the house of the Lord? How long was Joash hidden in the house of the Lord? Was it 1 week, 3 months, or 6 years? 2 Chronicles 22:12. How long was Joash hidden in the house of the Lord? So this was the rightful king who was tucked away. How long was he tucked away? For 1 week, 3 months, or 6 years? 2 Chronicles 22:12. That's going to be where your answer is, if you think you know the answer. 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website. It's a website. And on the website is a lot of really cool stuff, plus a place to give. Thank you very much, but you got to go to the website. And you know what? You can just go there and have fun. We don't track anybody. We don't do anything. We're not Google. All right, anyway, point is, check it out on the website. Give if you can. Don't forget, Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously to the needy, and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord will bless you in all the work and in everything to which you put your hand. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, that is your favorite sound.
Yes, it is.
So this is like the first time ever that you've had your favorite sound and my favorite sound.
Yep. And it's Friday. Today's a great day.
That's a great day. That's really good right there. I got to say, that's pretty good. There you go. We both get it. Bottom line, trivia question. So listen to what the trivia question is. You can always look up the reference. Or you can guess. It's not like the end of the world. It's not like, you know, if you guess and you're wrong, you're going to get a flat tire. Okay? Well, at least I don't think so. How long was Joash hidden in the house of the Lord? He was actually hidden in the temple. How long was he hidden in the house of the Lord? For 1 week, for 3 months, or for 6 years? 2 Chronicles 22:12 is where your answer lies. In the meantime, we are going to do history.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, there's a couple of things that we need to cover for today. Today is tennis day. That's a good one, right?
That's a good one.
I'm going to tell you something. I've only mentioned this a few times. My dad, and I don't talk about my dad very often. It's not one of the things I have, but my dad was a phenomenal tennis player. Not just average, it was like phenomenal, phenomenal. But then remember, we came from a very wealthy, wealthy family. Now, when I say very wealthy, wealthy family, in 1975, in December, we were at the Doral Country Club before Donald Trump bought it. It was in 1975 in a massive suite for the entire family. My dad, they decked it out. And you know who was visiting at the Doral Country Club in 1975? Might have been 79. I'm pretty sure it's 1975. It was Arthur Ashe. And you know what my mom did? Ponied up the money. And my dad played an exhibition match with Arthur Ashe, and I was the ball boy.
I'm guessing he didn't win.
Arthur spotted him 30 love each game, and they played 4 games, and Arthur beat him all 4 games, but he beat him. My dad got 2 points in every game.
Oh, there you go.
My dad was really good, really good. And I was just a smarty pants. I was the guy. So I had Bob Love was one of my instructors. Bob was a real famous guy. And my dad was the one that told me to tell him this. And I got in so much trouble for it because my dad didn't think I'd do it. And he said, when he tells you how good his serve is, tell him his serve is so slow you can write his name on the ball before it gets over the net.
That's pretty good. I thought you were going to say I was a great ball boy. That's what
no. So I just want to say I got in a lot of trouble. Just want to say, Bob Love was not happy. Let's just put it that way. But it was a great line. I thought it was a great line. Anyway, so it's tennis day. It's also National Banana Bread Day. Come on. I love banana bread. And then this is hilarious. Curling is cool day. You know curling when you do with the little rock things? Did you ever see the movie Curling? It was just,
no, I haven't.
So, you don't want to see it. Okay. And then the last thing that's even this is kind of a weird one, but I'll just say it, okay? 1974, Jesus makes the top 100. Just let me finish. Sister Janet Mead's recording of the Lord's Prayer makes it onto the Billboard's top 100. It charted for 13 weeks, reaching number 4 and going gold. Since the lyrics came from the teachings of Jesus in the Bible, it is the only song to hit the top 10 in which the lyrics are attributed to Jesus Christ. Janet Mead donated all of the monies to charity. Come on, that is awesome. Isn't that a great story? Okay. All right.
You said top 100 at first, and then nothing else. I was like, of what?
Oh, yeah, top 100 billion. Yeah, I probably should have read that, right? Hey, what do you want? It's Friday. Is it Friday? That's Friday. How long was Joash hidden in the house of the Lord? For 1 week, for 3 months, or for 6 years? If you think you know the answer, reach out to us, 972-445-0770. Also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. That is the way to do that. Into the teaching we go. Do not take this as legalistic. Okay? It's a preface. I'm laying the groundwork before I teach it. Okay? This is choose your battles carefully. 1 Kings 22:2-4. However, in the third year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went to visit the king of Israel. The king of Israel has said to his servants, "Don't you know that Ramoth-Gilead is ours? But we have failed to take it from the hand of the king of Aram." So he asked Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, I am as you are. My people are your people. My horses are your horses. That's what he said. Wow. Listen, verse 3, the king of Israel said, don't you know Ramoth-Gilead is ours? Watch for people that offer something that seems to be a little bit, a tad off. How exactly were they going to share that land between the king of Israel and the king of Judah? They didn't discuss that. But he's just saying, hey, come help me. This will all be great for all of us. How? Some people will make you an offer, and there's something in the back of your heart, your mind, your spirit, you're like going, pay attention to them, because there's a reason it's there, and that's the discernment the Lord is trying to give you. Verse 4, fight alongside me. So he wants what Jehoshaphat agreed to do is he agreed to fight alongside of the king of Israel. He's like, sure, you know what? You're like me. I'm like you. We can do it. Let's do it together. I'm with you in this one. But see, here's the problem. He did that. Did you see one spot in there where the Lord said, ask my counsel, seek my wisdom? You see, once that where he prayed, he did any of that. He's just like, I'm with you. Let's do it. Let's go. It's not like you're going to get a burger. This is in a warfare. This is an army fighting with another army. I'll just tell you right now, bad alliances can cost you. Whether it's friends, family, brothers or sisters, you've got to make sure the Lord is in it. And I'm not disparaging you having any kind of partnership with people. I'm just telling you, make sure you do it in partnership with God. I don't know how that could be wrong. I thought we were supposed to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to double check. Oh, wait, it does say that. So after you go through the rest of the test, you get to verse 49. You find out that this thing, by the way, is a disaster. It turns out to be a disaster. Okay? Jehoshaphat, bad call, bad idea. All right? Further on in the text in 1 Kings 22, what happens is Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, listen to this, says to Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with your servants in the ships, in the building of the ships. And Jehoshaphat, the Bible says Jehoshaphat was not willing. Jehoshaphat learned not just to say yes to everything, but he didn't really seek counsel in the beginning. When he was dealing with the heavy, he learned later on, I need to seek the counsel before I say yes. Don't jump into something where part of you is like going, ding, 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 ding. God will reveal it to you. He will show you. He will teach you. And if you've done that in the past, I understand, so have I. But now, as I'm getting older, somewhat wiser, but older, now I'm much more reserved just to jump in and much more apt to say, I will pray it through and let you know. You understand that difference? All right. The trivia question, how long was Joash hidden in the house of the Lord? Was that for 1 week, 3 months, or 6 years? And the answer is 6 years. They kept that guy hidden 6 years. That's just wild stuff. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Let's get into our text. Colossians chapter. We covered everything, right? Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. Whatever you do, or I'm sorry, it's actually Colossians 3:24. Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically. Is something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord because you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that whatever we do, now we've gone through this a couple of times and we have to go through it multiple more times to really grasp it, but that phrase, whatever we do, happens to mean whatever we do. That's what it means. And we're supposed to do it enthusiastically, with an eagerness, not with an obnoxiousness, with an eagerness to do it as unto the Lord. So the things that we're required to do that we have to do, there should be a disposition, an attitude of enthusiasm that is connected to the Lord. It's not that you like to do everything, but if you can understand that in the doing of it unto the Lord, you're doing it with a different priority in mind. You understand that? In other words, what you do, do it unto the Lord, and do it with this attitude of a full heart and an eagerness. I had somebody, I'll say her name, Susie Lopez was at KPRZ. She was the direct marketing director. Susie did the marketing director for San Diego. She said something to me one time that was so profoundly simple, it was irritating, because I had to do something for a client because that's what you had to do at Salem. And I was like, blah. All right. So she said, Dave, she goes, if you can't get out of it, get into it. And it was like, that was really good advice. If you can't remove yourself from it and you have to do it, at least do it right. I mean, do what you're going to do and do it with the right attitude. Do it with the right spirit. Do it with this better mindset. And I think she was more right than wrong. No, I'm not talking about doing bad things or anything like that. That's weird stuff. I'm talking about doing it as unto the Lord and recognizing that when you do it that way, it is from the Lord and only the Lord that you will receive the true eternal reward. You might go through whatever your process is, but when you do it as unto the Lord, you can recognize that the Lord is the one that brings the reward. And that's just living your life for the Lord. That's just good, right? I mean, that can't be a bad thing.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Last trivia question of the day, and of the week, in fact. Here it is, out of Revelation 11:19. What did John see in the sanctuary? According to the book of Revelation, was it Noah's Ark, Jesus' garments, or the Ark of the Covenant? What did John see in the sanctuary of God according to the book of Revelation? And that'd be Revelation 11:19. Was it Noah's Ark, Jesus' garments, or the Ark of the Covenant? If you think you know the answer, you can give us a holla. Holla! 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So for those that do not know, what did John see in the sanctuary according to the book of Revelations? Revelation 11:19. Was it Noah's Ark, Jesus' garments, or the Ark of the Covenant? In the meantime, I'm going to do a couple of jokes. Are you ready for these? I'm just making sure you're ready. Yeah? You sure?
I'm ready to go.
All right. Here we go. All right. There we go. You're cute, right? All right. This is a couple of health jokes. Now, this is a two-liner. Just wait. The patient talking to the doctor. Help me, doc. I can't remember anything for more than a few minutes, and it's driving me crazy. The doctor said, well, how long has this been going on? The patient responds, how long has what been going on? Because he couldn't remember. Okay. You didn't follow that, did you? So he's kind of just a little, okay, all right. Listen to this. I paid more than $2,000 to get a cure for my baldness. I figured it's better to give than recede. Okay. And then this is the last one. Friend, the doctor told me to drink carrot juice after a hot bath. June, do you like the carrot juice? Fran, I don't know. I'm still drinking the hot bath. All right. That's all right.
You serious, Clark?
Okay. Not really. All right. Somebody ready to answer trivia question? Yes? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, it's Brother Roger again.
Hello, Brother Roger again. How you doing?
Well, I've been thinking about what to say when you asked me that.
That's funny.
So, I could complain, but I remember what that did for the children of Israel, so I'm not going to do that.
That's a good call. That's a good call. It did not work out very well for them, did it?
No.
All right.
I've been really working on that response.
That's good. That's a good one, too. You did a great job on that. All right. Let me set up the trivia question, and then you can answer it. So let me drop the whole thing, and then you'll answer it after I give the clues, okay? Ready?
All right.
All right. Here we go. Which did John see in the sanctuary of God? According to the book of Revelation, Revelation 11:19, was it Noah's Ark, Jesus' garments, or the Ark of the Covenant?
In the Ark of his covenant.
It is the Ark of the Covenant! That is correct, Amundo. That's what he saw, Revelation 11, yeah. 19. That's why I give those references, because sometimes that stuff, you know what I'm saying?
I opened the book and read it.
Yeah. You know what? Just so you can know, because I've had a couple of miscues this week, so did I. I was like, I'm going to double check this one right now.
I wanted to make sure I was right, because I've been wrong a few other times.
Yeah, me too. I feel you. I've been there too. I've been like, whoops, I got that wrong. Excellent.
Immediately, I always ask for forgiveness. So the quicker you get it under forgiveness, the better off you are.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just tell the Lord, I'm sure I did it. I don't even bother. I have no qualms about that. I'm sure I did it, you know? Good call. Nice laugh. Love it. Very good job, brother.
We needed a good laugh,
yep.
Brother David.
We do.
You know, with what's going on in the world, why the joy of the Lord is our strength. And everybody needs a little extra strength in their life today.
That is
so
correct.
So I'm just going to keep the joy of the Lord. Don't try to come and steal it, because I might fight for it.
Yep. You need to fight for it. Absolutely. Absolutely, my brother. Absolutely.
I might fight you for it to keep my joy.
You need to fight to keep the joy. Fight anybody for it. Keep the joy of the Lord. It's your strength. No question.
Yeah.
Good job,
bro. It's my strength.
Good job.
I don't want to hear the one, though, where I have to wait upon the Lord to renew my strength. So.
Yes, I'd rather do the joy one. I love it. Good job. Yeah. Very good, bro. All right.
I'm going to let you get back to your show, because I've been waiting all week to give you that response.
That's a good response. I give you lots of props for that. That was a good one. All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. Hilarious. That's so funny. All right, let me do this last little bit. This doesn't have a title. It doesn't really matter. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. Verse 2. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because the temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Verse 3, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David. All right? So we know Solomon, it goes bad. Okay? We know it goes bad. So we're not talking about that. But we also know that Solomon did really good in the beginning. And you want to know the Lord gave him such blessing, and he gave him the wisdom, he gave him all that stuff. So what was it that was going on? What was it that's happening that Solomon was doing that was proactive, that was effective before he went nutty cuckoo. And it tells you in verse 3 of 1 Kings 3, it says, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David. That's how he showed his love. By doing what the Lord told him to, by doing what the Lord laid down. And so it's important for you and I to grasp or to get this is a methodology of showing our love for God. Doing what he says. Following his directions. Obeying his word. We don't even have to get into it. It's better to obey than sacrifice. You already know that. Do it. Don't just go, hey, I heard that. That's great. But if you hear it and do nothing with it, it does nothing for you. Follow it. He showed his love by walking in the statutes, and our jobs do the same. And Jesus gave a summation command and then a new command. The summation command, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. It is not it. It is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Great. So that's the summation law. And then in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Okay. So here's the bottom line. If you fulfill these commandments completely, and you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, and love your brothers and sisters as Christ loves you, and as Christ loved them, if you do all that, and you still think there's more to get done, let me know. I'll give you something else. Because it's like, you just spend the rest, you spend over 100, you spend 200, you spend 500 years just doing those. So it's important for us to understand. It is awesome to hear it, but you have to take it from the hearing and move it into the doing. You can't always do that on your own, by the way. I think it's very warranted to be able to say, I need the Lord's help to do that. Good. Ask him for the help. Believe me, that's the prayer that God will say yes to. Get it? All right. Cool. All right. As we head into the weekend, don't be afraid, no matter what you hear. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 70 and one-half hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.